The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. I have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have Heather Leggetts. I hope I said that right, Heather.
You did.
She is the marketing...
Member of the marketing committee.
Committee for the Preservation Society.
Correct.
Of the Harbor Beach Lighthouse. And we also have Curtis Bomer, who's a docent. And
correct.
I'm sure that's a good thing, because I don't know. When I asked him what he was, he said bum at first, so we aren't going to go with that one. But they're from the Harbor Beach Lighthouse Preservation Group. They are going to be talking about the lighthouse tours start up this Saturday. So if you want to check out all they've been doing to preserve the lighthouse, that starts this weekend, runs into the fall, when there's a lot of people out in the Harbor Beach area thinking about the water.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Now, you've had the lighthouse for a couple of years now. There was a ceremony that basically turned it over from the government to the Preservation Society and the city.
To the city of Harbor Beach.
And correct. Then you were charged by the city to keep it up and turn it into something.
Preserve it and offer it out to the public for viewing.
And to help bring in tourists.
Exactly.
I mean, the city is looking to bring people in, and there's no crime in that. That's exactly what they should be trying to do.
Right.
When you got in there, did your jaw drop and say, oh, what did we get ourselves into?
I think it did when they first started doing it, but they've been working on the preservation for well over 25 years.
Yes.
And
even before it changed hands, were trying to keep it up so it didn't fall into such disrepair that it was gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when it did change hands, it was ready for tours. And actually, I think tours started just before it changed hands officially.
And I understand that the lighthouse, this wasn't the original. This was the second one, because the first one was kind of wooden and they don't last. But this one is a kit, and it's made out of cast iron or metal?
It is. It's made out of cast iron, and sections are put together. It's just like the light in Chicago, only one section shorter.
And this is a kit like they used to have Sears houses that you could get from a catalog. You ordered what you needed, and they sent it to the site, and it was your job to figure out how to get it to the end of the break wall.
It was a lighthouse services job, absolutely.
I imagine they probably waited for winter and just put it all over there on the ice, and then in the spring they finished the job, because you wouldn't want to work out there in the winter, but it sure be a lot easier with the equipment they had back then to get it out there with the ice.
I would think so.
We haven't seen pictures of when they built it, but I'm sure it was quite a feat.
Because there wasn't huge floating cranes and stuff to deal with. This was a lot of labor, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Is it in pretty good shape, considering how old it is? I mean, this has gone on for quite a while, and not a lot of things from that vintage. I'm from 1955, and I'm falling apart, so...
It's probably in the best shape that it could be. Compared to a lot of other lighthouses, we think our lighthouse is probably one of the best. We have a restoration crew that works extremely hard. They're out there every Wednesday for 4 to 6 hours, for 4 to 5 months, restoring, repairing, getting it ready for tours and for anything new that they want to do.
And by new, you mean recreate the old. Because the Restoration Society is trying to take it back to, I think, like the 1920s or 30s?
1900 to 1915.
Even further back.
Yeah.
Predating Henry Ford. But that's the era you're going for, and the items you'll find inside will be representative of that time.
Right. Everything inside the lighthouse goes back to the 1900s to 1915 era. So it is...
Actually, or replicas, or a little of both?
Mostly actual.
Because some of the things that date that far back that would be authentic to a lighthouse would seem to me to be kind of hard to find.
Well, our committee, the Preservation Society, and the Restoration Committee are always on the lookout for period accurate items.
Now, not all of them are necessarily from our lighthouse that we have, but they're from that period of time.
Yeah, but I mean, people will look at this and they'll be dropping their jaws, because how did people live like this? I mean, we need a big king size bed today, and you had to have a pretty small one up in the lighthouse. And
they're smaller than twins.
They are. But it is an antique bed up there, and cast iron bed with quilts. And
I've gone through it mm-hmm. on occasion, and it is very accurate, you know. But when you look at it, you wonder how people made it through that time, you know, because we're used to such luxury, and you're stuck out there. If it's nasty weather, it's hard to get into shore, and basically you're out there for the nasty weather, so you're kind of hoping your job is secure if there's nasty weather.
Well, the lighthouse keepers, if it was nasty weather, still had to be outside because they had to continue to fuel the lights that were on other parts of the pier.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was probably all like kerosene or oil.
It would have been, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Are those things kind of hard to find? Those seems to be the first things I would think that would rust. They're outside, and they're exposed to the elements, and they were in use all the time while there was a human body out there.
Yeah. And yeah, they're very hard to find. Getting the actual artifacts is an ongoing task that you never know where you're going to find them, and you're always looking, and you usually find them in the oddest of places.
Are they things that may have really just been, you know, custom made in town or something, or, you know, as opposed to the prefab of the entire lighthouse? A lot of times you would think if you needed something, you'd find a metalist working in Harbor Beach would make what you need.
You know, I'm not sure. I would imagine that when they had to improvise, they had to do that. But most of the things were provided for them by the lighthouse service, and then they would, you know, but they're also things that when you were done with them, you threw them away. When you were done, you were done, and so that's why they're difficult to find.
And you know, it's just little things that come to my mind that boggle me. How do you get the trash out of there when you were 1915? You have to put it on the boat and take it to shore with you, hopefully.
Things were different back then.
Yeah. I'm thinking that maybe most of the trash, at least the compostable part, probably got tossed overboard right off
would
the wall.
Would they have maybe used it in the wood stove inside, some of the flammable stuff, just to, because you'd have to haul wood out there if you wanted to keep warm too.
They might have, but they didn't have all the prepackaged things that we have today, and we have a lot of trash. I don't think they would have had nearly the trash that we have today.
Because they've gone by the way, but I remember right. when I was younger, some houses had incinerators.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be something that, you know, you get rid of stuff by burning it.
Right. But their flour came in 50-pound bags, and their sugar came in large quantities, and the meat came in already cured. So there wasn't the packaging that we have in the food stuffs.
And by cured, you mean because there's no refrigeration. Unless you take your beer and you put it in the water.
Right.
And they weren't allowed to have alcohol
And they
there.
Weren't allowed to have alcohol.
Doesn't mean they didn't, but they weren't allowed.
Now, we're kind of finicky these days. Did they basically drink the lake water? Because there's no well out there. You know, it would seem to me you're not taking, you know, Avion water out there.
Well, and I think the lake was probably a little better shape than our lakes are today. You know, we didn't have the pollution back then.
Well, there weren't a lot of gasoline engines to put a little on the water and stuff.
No.
But I mean, still, you know, you're drinking where the fishies go.
Well, not only that, I think you're drinking where you go. when that went back in that time period, we were talking about that earlier, because one of the features when coming up is a composting toilet will be installed out there when the fog signal building is built, and
to alleviate all the people going to the jig guy. When are we
going
to the boat?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and as we were talking earlier, it's like they didn't have composting toilets back then out there, and that waste was right out into the harbor.
But the ships of that era were doing the same
absolutely.
Thing. Absolutely. I mean, it's not like, you know, they were doing something that wasn't common practice.
That's right.
It was very common practice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that it was proper. We don't give people ideas because we don't want that in there anymore. But,
no,
you
we
know,
don't.
But it's at the time, that was the technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
You brought it up. There was always a huge kind of building there that housed the foghorn. that had to be, was that steam powered originally, or how did that go?
It was coal fired and steam powered.
So if you knew there were going to be fog or suspected, you had to stoke the thing up just to make sure that if you needed it, you could fire it off, and
yep.
and it would be like the siren, the thing inside turns and makes the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And it was quite loud.
Well, it has to be. Mm-hmm. You got to warn ships far enough in advance that you're going to hit something if you keep going on this course.
Yeah.
And that's all the ships had back in its mm-hmm. day, was the lights, which in fog can be very minimal till you see them. You can be right on top of something. But the foghorn will penetrate through all of that, and that was the second line of defense.
It was, absolutely. So originally it was steam-fired, and then later, in more of the modern era, it was changed to an air-compressed foghorn.
And somebody had to stoke that fire up, and that poor lighthouse keeper, was that usually a solitary job, or did they have families out there?
Yeah, well, they had families on shore, but it was a very solitary job. Harbor Beach had a lighthouse keeper and an assistant keeper, and sometimes they were together, sometimes they were all by themselves.
Because you look at the size of that place when you get inside it, and you think, how would you get a family in here of any, you know, even just two kids? I mean, you watch HGTV, and these people can't buy a house that doesn't have five bedrooms more than they need, and a master suite that you can do ballroom dancing in. It boggles the mind that you live in that small of a space.
Well, many of the lighthouses that were on shore had family living quarters, but not so much for the lighthouses that were offshore.
Well, they'd have the building next to the Tower of the
Correct.
Light, and that's where you could have a genuine house.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep.
But once you got out far enough that you had to bring everything out there, it got a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
The light came after, because they made the man-made harbor, correct?
Correct.
That was once they made the harbor, they needed to show the boats how to get in.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Because there's just basically that one little stretch of opening that you can get in. There's space on the sides, but if you're trying to get in the side, you better be in a pretty small boat.
Well, and the south side, you can't get in anyways, because it's shallow and rocky. And so that wasn't a safe way to come into the harbor. The only really truly safe way is right through the main entrance, the main gap. And the original lighthouse was on the south side of that gap. And
so it was on the opposite side of where it is now.
It was on the opposite side, yeah. And it was a wooden structure, a wooden pyramid type structure.
And we know how wood and water goes together for longevity. So
it was only up for a few years, because the lighthouse keepers wrote to the lighthouse service and said, when the waves came in and pounded on the breakwall, they were afraid that it was going to topple over, because it would shake the lighthouse a lot. And so when this light went in, they moved it to the north side of the gap, built a separate structure off from the breakwall itself. So the lighthouse is not attached to the breakwall from shore. It looks like it is, but it isn't.
And it's on the inside.
So it's well protected.
Yeah. I mean, the shaking of the wooden thing, you love that on a roller coaster. You don't want it in a lighthouse.
That would be accurate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how it started. Was the wooden one designed to be temporary, to see how much use it is, its benefits to navigation, before they did the full expense of the other one? Or
I think they thought that the original was going to suffice and do the job they needed to have it do. And as far as a light goes, it was the safety of the keepers that was more in question, I believe, and then the permanency, because of the way the breakwall shook and all of that. I think the storms on that portion of Lake Huron were stronger than what the lighthouse service thought they were, and so they had to modify. Oftentimes, you know, when you have a plan, it changes.
Yeah, well, all they needed to see was that one year the ice came in and took a section out of that breakwall.
That's right.
To see just how powerful Lake Huron can be when it gets its muster up.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep.
Okay. When you were a lighthouse keeper, were you basically there the whole season, or did you...
Well,
you mentioned there was like an assistant.
There was.
Did you kind of trade off? You
yep.
were there maybe 5 days, the assistant on the weekend or something, because... You had a family, you'd want to spend some time with them, even if you just cash your paycheck.
I think the wife probably took care of that.
Oh, okay. So some things never change.
That's right. You know, they worked together, but they were out there all year round. They worked out on the lighthouse year round, even during the winter.
Even
they
during
were
the
out
winter.
There. Mm-hmm. They had duties to maintain.
Type of
they had
time?
Duties to maintain and the lighthouse to maintain and take care of.
Did the lighthouse operate year round with a light? Or don't you know? I mean, I'm trying. I'm
yeah,
not trying to ask.
No,
questions
I know.
You don't know.
And I don't know for sure.
Because I was wondering, you know, if people would use that. You know, ice fishing was. You know, it was colder back then, so it seems, and people would ice fish because they needed food, mm-hmm. and there wasn't all the great shopping we have today. You'd think that would be a nice yeah. way to find your way home.
You'd think, but there wasn't really a commercial need mm-hmm. for the light to operate during the wintertime when the lake was frozen over, and so I would think that it did not operate as a functioning light when during the winter months.
Because oil was... You know, even if it's
expensive.
Whale oil or whatever they were using back then, some kind of oil was still cost money, and
mm-hmm. Correct.
You want to get more bang for your buck.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Now, when you started this whole project, did you have to make some compromises to today's era? We talked about the toilet.
Yep, absolutely.
Because back in the day, they used stuff that, you know, lead and other things are in things. And this probably predated a lot of the asbestos problem, but you may have had a little of that in there to deal with as well. Did you inherit some problems?
I don't know if there was asbestos out there. I know that there was some lead.
Because that was the paint that was kind of long-lasting.
Yeah.
There was a lot of lead paint.
Mm-hmm.
And you're by the water, and you know, taking it off. I would think the regulating people would be like, you know, you just can't scrape it.
That would be accurate. When the Restoration Society took it over, one of the first things they had to do was to scrape the inside and the outside of the lighthouse. And the Coast Guard actually came in and did a lot of that. And did most of the scraping and removal because they had the equipment and the suits and could do that. And then the Preservation Society went in and painted. So the Coast Guard removed the dangerous paint that for the environment and the Preservation Society repainted with modern appropriate paint.
A lot of times you don't have to remove it all, you have to stabilize it.
Correct.
And get to a point where you can paint over it and then it's safe.
Yep.
Because to remove it all would be sandblasting out there, and that would take away from the structure itself, because when you sandblast, you lose a little of the building. You don't want to lose structure.
Right. Well, the painting process is an ongoing thing with the humidity out there, and so the restoration crew is always every year doing some painting out there, whether it's inside or outside.
It's a like a cast iron.
Mm-hmm. It is a cast iron.
So that rusts. Is that a constant problem to make sure that, you know, it hasn't penetrated to a point where you're going to start seeing little orange streaks coming down?
That's why it's always being painted and maintained. You're always taking care of it.
Took a lesson from the Big Mac Bridge and let's just keep painting.
There is a schedule, and the restoration and maintenance crew maintain that schedule faithfully.
Has it always been the color it is? I mean, sometimes when, you know, you went to do things in the past, well, they got a deal on this color paint, and the Lighthouse Service is sending it to everybody. Was it pretty much always the same color, as far as you know?
I believe the lighthouses have to be the same color that they were originally, because with navigation, if they can't hear it or see the light, they can check the color of the lighthouse and know that the white lighthouse with the black top is Harbor Beach.
And they were distinct that way.
Yes.
You see some of these pictures, especially out in like New England and stuff, mm-hmm. they were striped
right. And
everything else. It was to give each lighthouse an identifying,
right. When
you saw that, you knew you weren't in Port Sanilac, you knew you weren't at Point Au Barques, you were in Harbor Beach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or at least within viewing range mm-hmm. of Harbor Beach.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's probably a little bit whiter now than it was back in the very beginning, just due to better quality paint.
The pigments back then were probably earth tone pigments, and you had to find something that looked kind of white to make white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You things you learn when you restore a lighthouse.
Absolutely. It's always an ongoing challenge for our restoration crew.
And the restoration crew is constantly checking out and making sure that what they're doing is period correct.
Do you have, you know, the base it's on and everything is old. Is it still in good shape for that age? You know, you have a concrete driveway, and in that amount of time, you've replaced it a couple of times. There's a big chunk of concrete, and it's still there.
It is, and it's as stable as the break wall is. Mm-hmm. And the break wall, you know, they reinforced a number of years ago in Harbor Beach. And so, yeah, it's absolutely on firm ground.
And I would imagine the little bit, you know, the roughing up of the texture of the surface is better for stepping and not slipping.
It is for us, yes.
Because when you get new concrete, they try to make it as smooth as glass, and you know, it gets a little water on it, and you're doing a high five on your rear end.
Right.
Yes, you are.
But this would make it safer for people out there, actually, if it's a little wet, and it does get a little wet out there.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
Now, you were mentioning the house you're going to build, the old Foghorn house.
The Fog Signal Building, yeah.
Fog Signal Building. It's got to have a specific
yes.
terminology. This is something that's going to have stuff on the inside, not quite original, but you're going to make the structure itself.
The structure
fit yep. the time frame.
The structure itself will match the original blueprints that have been obtained.
Those were all preserved, eh?
From the National Archives, absolutely. One of the members of the Preservation Society was able to get the original blueprints for the lighthouse and the Fog Signal Building. And so they'll be following those blueprints for the Fog Signal Building and restoring that back to the way it was. At least on the outside, it'll look that way. Mm-hmm. The inside will be used for storage for that composting toilet.
You're going to lose a fortune. You could sell Imodium.
That's probably true. Well, I'll make that suggestion to our gift house people.
I'm sure they'll, you know, here's a lighthouse Imodium.
And then there'll be a gift shop out there.
So you have the little gift shop where you buy the tickets and to go out there,
yep.
And then you'll have one right there. People can see what you have to offer out there and what kind of memento they'd like to take back.
Absolutely. That'll be a couple of years down the road before all of that gets in place, but they're starting that this summer.
Is that something that came with, you know, windows for natural light, or are you going to have to
inside,
do some compromising on the inside?
I think we'll probably end up doing some compromising on the inside just so we have light sources. But the original Fog Signal Building was painted white on the inside to reflect the natural light coming in all the windows so that it gave better lighting inside so they could work.
Because I would imagine that would not be a good building for glass, because it would probably blow it out. I mean, you'd have vents or whatever to let the sound out, so it's not going anywhere. But this is just my imagination.
Sure.
I have no idea what the building really looks like.
There were a number of windows in the building.
Really?
But remember, the building was protected from the big waves because the break wall is in between them. So while it still got wet, they didn't take that building nor the lighthouse took the full force of the...
I was
waves.
Just thinking the vibrations when you send that foghorn into full blast. Mm-hmm. You know, I can turn the stereo up and rattle the dishes in my cupboard. I can imagine what that thing would do.
That's probably true. That is, you know, and I remember when the air compressed fog signal bank, because I'm not old enough to be back when it was steam powered, but
he says that.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I know.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. So, anyways, you know, we could hear it in town, and it felt like you could feel it some days, especially when the fog was thick.
But that was the whole point.
That right. Absolutely, that was the whole point.
You couldn't see the lighthouse, you couldn't see the break wall, but you could hear that horn.
Yes, you could.
You could hear it 2 miles south of town.
I would imagine that the lighthouse keepers of that era really had hearing problems by the end of their career, because today, you know, you wear earplugs when you use the lawnmower and stuff. I'm sure this is a lot more decibels than that.
I would imagine they did.
And nobody ever thought of your protection back then. This is just what you did. And, and, it's ringing again, honey, in my ears. But
yeah,
must
absolutely.
Be a good thing I'm doing my job.
Absolutely.
How many people do you have going out there to help restore this? Is this you got like a whole crew, or do you have specialized people who, you know, we tackle the painting, we tackle keeping the interior up to date and proper.
We have a crew of 8 to 10 people that go out every week. The crew is comprised of a retired mechanical engineer, a retired pipe fitter, a retired electrical engineer, a retired butcher, a retired machine repairman, a retired shop teacher, who was a high school principal as well, a retired biology teacher, a retired juvenile probation officer, a retired bookkeeper, a retired building contractor, and building trades teacher. So we kind of cover the gamut, and they work very well together. They help each other.
Well, you got a shop teacher and a juvenile probation officer and high school principal. They know how to keep people in line. I don't know what you're using the butcher for. That's kind of
probably
scary.
Keeping them in line as well.
That brings images, and we better not. But the engineers, these are types of skills the original lighthouse keepers had to have to maintain it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
They had to be a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. and just maybe just pertaining to their particular needs, but they had to know about all these little things to keep it going.
Yes, they did. And these guys have skills beyond what they did as a profession. And
well, they've got the passion.
They have the passion. And they have the desire to make sure that everything is correct. And so much so that when they redid some of the windows, they had to retooled and reground bits for the rotors so that they matched exactly what the original windows framing
so
looked
like.
So
the molding, you can't tell the difference.
You cannot tell the difference. They even went out and found wood, the same type of wood that was the same age as the original. And had that dried, cut and dried, and that's what they made the framing out of. And they've done that with pretty much everything in the lighthouse that they've restored. They've gone back to as much of the original as they could possibly do.
That is a labor of love.
It is absolutely a labor of love. And that's one reason why it takes time to do it the right way.
And they did the floors kind of the same way?
The floors were stripped down and redone the same way. A number of the floors, the floor on the main level had rotted, and they took that out. And there were a number of layers of linoleum and paint and wood and down to the original wood. And when they got down there, they routed those and put the same exact type of wood in the same way that the original wood was put in.
Yellow pine.
Yep.
And eliminated
tongue and groove.
2 foot step up into the.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely, it was. Yeah.
And absolutely. The horrible colors that some of the wood was in the flooring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do they stand at the doorway? Because I know you can do tours into the inside and see what it's like. And I take your shoes off.
No.
You're not gonna mess up my floors.
Nope. We sweep it down every day that we're out there, and we clean it up before we leave. But no, we don't make anyone take their shoes off.
And do you use like modern, preservatives on the floor, the
yes.
varnishes and stuff. So they did use a varnish or something like that in the past, or a tongue oil or something, where today you got to make it last if you're going to have that many people tracking through it. I mean, you'd have to use something a little more modern.
Right, well, they've painted it over the yellow pine, and it's gray.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
so
it's
easier to keep clean. It's easier to sweep.
And that's what they would have done back then.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They would have painted it because it preserves it the best.
Yeah, seals everything in and everything out.
And the same with the walls. When you go into the first level of the lighthouse, the Preservation Society Restoration Committee has blocked off an area on one section of the wall that shows all the different layers of paint. It looks like a picture, but it's all the different layers of paint that were on when they went out to scrape.
That's like history right
there.
It
is. It is. One of them is a salmon color.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine.
I think that
again,
was the 60s.
Maybe they scraped a little off and got the psychedelic with all the colors. And how did they heat it? Did they have a little stove inside? Because if you're there in the winter if you're in that little metal box, it's going to get cold in there. There's not much in the way of insulation.
There was a coal stove, and the chimney of the coal stove went up through the different levels.
Right through the center, and actually they've installed replicas, originals, but they're not usable at this point, of a stove on the main level and in the assistant keeper's bedroom and in the keeper's bedroom.
So they had zoned heating.
So they had zoned heating, absolutely. And the pipe goes straight through the center of the lighthouse up to the observation deck, the gallery.
Now you get a beautiful view from the top. Well,
yes,
I was lucky enough when I went there, you know, it was a media tour, and they let us go right up to the top and the ring around it and look out and take pictures, and it's like, this is wonderful. The rest of the lighthouse further down just had like little portholes, if I remember.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. They weren't any massive big windows in there. I imagine that's heat loss and
they weren't designed for viewing. They weren't designed for the scenery. They were designed just to let air flow through the building.
Well,
and to let
deck
some light
and some
in.
Patio doors would have gone a long way.
Yeah, probably.
You didn't want to maintain a deck.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
The ring, I imagine, itself must be complex because it's outdoors. It's kind of an iron skeletal type of thing. That must take a lot of care to make sure that thing stays in safe condition.
It does. And, in fact, there is an addition on that ring this year because of concerns that the docents, the folks giving the tours had,
like
and
you,
the city
the
like me, and the preservation society looking, because we want to make sure our guests are always safe. There's an added chain at the top going around the ring for safety, so that because the railing obviously is not up to that was up there was not up to modern day standards. It was designed back in the 1800s, and that's the standards it was. So it was fairly low railing. And we want
more
to make
ornamental, the lighthouse keeper. Well, you don't go on that side of the railing. It's that simple.
Well, and they didn't have tourists at that time.
No.
Yeah. And so we, in an effort to protect our guests, there's now a chain railing that goes on top of that. And it looks very natural. It looks like if you didn't know any difference or if you didn't hear us telling you, you wouldn't even know that it wasn't original. They've done an excellent job with it.
But that's kind of the compromises you're making.
Absolutely.
You want to keep it as original. It's got to be safe. It's got to last. And all the other things that go into maintaining something this complex. It's not just a structure. It's very complex when you get into all the intricacies inside.
It is.
And safety is of utmost importance to our guests. So.
And we have to remind people for the tours. This is not ADA accessible. I'm sorry. We try to make a lot of things in life, you know, wheelchair accessible and that, but you have to be able to do a little bit of climbing. You have to get off the boat. Well, you have to get into the boat first.
Right.
Then you have to get off the boat and climb up a ladder just to get to the main deck where the lighthouse is situated. And you have to be able to do this. And if you're not comfortable with that, you may need to think a little bit.
Well, there are steps that do go up from the boat up to the main level. But as you get into the lighthouse and you go up to the upper levels, there are ladders.
Yep. Yeah, from the workshop to the gallery is a ladder that you have to climb, and then there's a short ladder that you climb so you can take a look at the replica Fresnel lens that's in the very top. But both of those are ladders you have to be able to climb.
So wearing appropriate shoes also is very important if you're taking a tour.
And for the ladies, it might be better to wear pants and slacks.
Or don't take
Curtis
that.
Curtis isn't saying anything. He's just going,
I wouldn't know.
And now you have the replica Fresnel lens up there, which means you don't have that little high-tech little gizmo that was in there.
It was
an LED light
before,
and, and now it is back to a functional light spinning and giving the correct color combination, and so the ships know it's Harbor Beach.
Mm-hmm. Correct color combination, correct timing, and we run it all year long. While we could certainly shut it down during the non-shipping season, the Preservation Society's chosen to run it year-round.
And it's solar-powered and such, so it isn't like you have to go out there and stoke the fire or bring out some fuel.
That's correct.
And it's a beautiful sight to see.
But the light on the opposite side is still there. It's a marker to show you the entrance to the harbor.
Correct.
So you will see another light on the others a little bit away from it to the south. But that's the one that was just to let the ships know, go in between these two.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right dead center, and you'll be okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. I know you wanted to take time to talk about the tours themselves.
Yes.
They are starting up this coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday, tours will be beginning. And they leave the City Marina every Saturday from 9:20 until noon. And boat.
You can go out on the 920 boat and come back on the last one if you really find you're out there. But, you know, you don't want everybody staying out to the end because you're going to have this overcrowded
There'll be a wait to get back on shore. It is extremely important for anybody who's interested in going to book reservations ahead of time.
You can do this online, I understand.
People can go online at harborbeachlighthouse.org and pick the time that they want to go.
Is it credit card based? You pay for it online and then you just go pick up your ticket?
Yes. Yes, and tickets can be picked up at the gift shop at the marina.
And if it's a really nasty day and nobody's going out, it's refundable or you can use it on another
day? You can use it at another time. You can use it at another time. But already we have a number of tours that are already sold out.
Well, I imagine you get to like a maritime festival. That's a biggie. You even extend the hours.
Our hours are extended for Maritime Festival, which is July 9th, and we'll be running from 9:20 until 3 o'clock. And the tour season is going until the end of September, museum weekend, and the lighthouse is a museum. So we will be running tours also up through museum weekend.
Now, am I correct in thinking that even during the regular weekends, you've extended like another hour just to, because of the demand you've been getting?
We're starting earlier.
Starting earlier.
Yep, we're starting earlier.
So you used to go out at 10, now you're going
9:20. Mm-hmm.
In addition to the lighthouse tour, your tickets are also good for a tour of the Grice House Museum, which is just as you're coming into the marina. Is where the Grice House is
at. You pass right by it.
You pass right by it, and that houses our original Fourth Order Fresnel lens.
So you can see the new replica up on top, and then you can see the one that came with the building.
Absolutely.
And there's not much difference.
Except its value.
Yes.
The one on the ground is priceless.
Yes.
The one up there you had to pay for, and you consider it priceless.
Correct. And tickets for our tours are $20, and part of that $20 goes to the admission to the Grice House Museum, and also to support our charter boat that takes people out, and then the remainder goes back to the Preservation Society for continued preservation and restoration.
And you don't have the building yet for the Foghorn, but you do have a little gift shop where you get the tickets, so you can get a memento there as well.
We have what we call the world's smallest gift shop on the world's greatest man-made harbor.
Oh, there you go. Because I know a lot of people collect lighthouse collectibles, and that would be something that I think a lot of people would, even if they don't go on the tour, would like the collectible.
Everything in the lighthouse gift shop is Harbor Beach lighthouse themed. So.
And I believe some of that is available online.
It is. Gifts are available online at harborbeachlighthouse.org.
So if you're a collector and you're hearing us across the bay or whatever today, you can go online and you just don't have to get stuff from the Taos Point Lighthouse. You can get stuff from Harbor Beach as well.
And absolutely.
We have some unique things. One of my favorites is we have a cutting board that's in the shape of the Harbor Beach Lighthouse. Very unique.
And it's locally produced. An artisan out of Bay City actually produces those for us.
Incredible. It's the unique things people want.
Yes.
Anyone can have shot glasses, but it's the unique things.
We've got those.
I'm sure you do. I mean, they're very popular.
I have never used one.
People collected them. But I mean, people collect them because they're tiny.
Yep.
They can collect a lot of them, and it shows, you know, they can get virtually every lighthouse on the Great Lakes in a shot glass somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Again, these start on Saturday.
And of course, everything is weather permitting.
Yeah, well, it's on the lake and you have to travel. You're a little better off because you're inside the harbor in the man-made harbor break wall that cuts a lot of the big lake waves off. But if there's enough wind, get choppy out there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I might also add that the tour is not really for young children.
Yeah, because of the you don't need them running around and falling into the gorilla pits.
There you go.
Just the pulling from the news of recent.
Right.
You know, you got to watch your kids.
We'd like to recommend 5 years and up.
Yeah.
Because it will be climbing and you don't want to be carrying.
Yep, absolutely. And there's a limited, we have a limited number of life jackets. Actually, for infants, we don't have any life jackets for infants. So we don't provide those on the boat. So that's not.
So they can't go out.
They can't go out.
And our boat only holds six people at a time. So we can only take six.
If your group is larger, figure on going in two shifts.
Correct. Okay. And we try to accommodate as much as we possibly can. But once again, I cannot stress enough that reservations are so highly recommended.
And it's easy to do online.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wish you good luck again this season. I hope you get to the point where you're going to have to do it all year long from 9 till 3, because it's just the man for it.
Yeah.
And I congratulate you on all the efforts you've done out there. What I have seen when I've been out there is incredible. And I can only imagine how it's going to get better the more you put into it.
It has gotten better year after year. And if there's anyone that would be interested in being a docent or one of the tour guides, it's a fairly easy job. And we're always looking for additional volunteers to assist.
I should get my phone out and find out what docent means, because I'm sure it's free labor.
It means museum guide.
It's a museum guide.
And it does mean free labor if you're volunteering.
But it's a very nice way to get involved.
Okay. I'm figuring there's something free labor in it somewhere. Because you donate your time for
yes.
a lot of this
Absolutely.
Stuff.
All of it.
Well, thanks again for being with us. I hope you get a good turnout again this year. I know you've been doing this a couple of years, and word gets around, and it gets even more and more. Mm-hmm. People coming up here. There are people who love lighthouses who will travel anywhere they can
yes.
to get onto one and actually see it from the inside. So you're offering something that's very special.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Thanks for having us, Craig.
Our guests today on the program have been Heather Leggetts and Curtis Bomer talking about the Harbor Beach Lighthouse. Again, the tours start this coming Saturday. Go online for reservations. Some of the weekends, she says, already booked, because there are some popular weekends in Harbor Beach where a lot of tourists come in, and they know to, well, it's kind of like cheeseburger. You know, you better make your reservation early or there won't be one. And it's down. You go down to the Harbor Beach Marina. That's where it takes off from. You go out to the lighthouse at the edge of the entrance to the man-made harbor, the biggest one in the world, as I understand it.
Freshwater
man-made yes. harbor. So you go out and see what they have to offer. They've done a lot of work and brought a lot of things together. If people have stuff that you think may be of the lighthouse originally or would be fitting of that time, I'm sure they'd love to hear from you online, because they're always looking to add new pieces and new things to the lighthouse to keep it as original as possible.
Absolutely.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.